Hello, everybody. Welcome to another installment of the awesome, the beautiful, the fantastic Taylor Radio, the best podcast broadcast in the biz. I am going to talk about how the book by Nassim Taleb, Anti-Fragile, is almost beginning to turn me into a prepper. That sounds a little strange for people who might not know what a prepper is. A prepper is commonly known in the modern lexicon as somebody who is preparing for the end of the world. So I'm not that extreme, but let me give you a little background. First off, I, in the past, because of my interest in financial markets and stuff like that, in economics, when I was younger, after the 2008 crash, 2009 crash, when I was doing my own investigation, sometimes I went into conspiracy rabbit holes. There is some legitimacy to some of the conspiracies out there in terms of how lots of things in the financial and economic system are controlled in the hands of a few, you know, large organizations, a few large banks, if you will. And I'm not going to get into all that, but at some point I realized that, you know, shit could just go south. And I started, you know, getting some emergency supplies together. Now, anyway, I have moved off of that because it was a very negative way. It was a very pessimistic way to live. And I don't subscribe to the idea that, like, we're all gonna die. And I'm not one of these apocalyptic people that the end is nigh and Jesus is about to come back. You know, I'm not one of those people. Though I am a cautious person, sometimes overly cautious. To give you a little insight, one of the ways I fight in my tournaments is pretty cautious. I do very well. You know, I have a good record. I'm not a world champion, but you know, I've placed at the world championships. I've done well, but sometimes I'm too cautious. I play it safe a lot when I'm doing stuff like that. And even in my life, I'm very cautious around what I think are dangerous areas. And sometimes people call me out on that. Well, I, listening to this book by Nassim Taleb, Anti-Fragile, first off, it is a awesome book. Awesome. It is so well written. It just sucks you in. I'm just giving it a little praise here. I'm listening to it now on audio. And the way he put the book together, and maybe it's also the narrator is probably doing a good job as well. It is just very, it's entertaining and so informational. But anyway, there's something that has got me hooked that I've been thinking about in the book. And he talks about the fragility, things that are fragile. And it's hard to understand this concept. And it's hard but easy. It's intuitive, but we're kind of trained not to identify it. One of the things he talks about is how in modern day living, our drive for efficiency has made everything very fragile and unpredictable. So what he means by unpredictable is that when there's some kind of shock to the system, the outcomes are magnified many more times than might be expected. Okay, and he uses some examples, could be like the price of wheat going up by a disproportionate amount in terms of dollars based on, you know, small disruptions in the supply or small increases in demand. And he talked about how you can observe this trend in traffic, how a small increase in cars can add a disproportionate amount of time to travel. And in the financial system, this was a big cause of the, or one of the big things about the collapse of the financial system or near collapse in 2008 was because all these institutions were fragilized. They were all basing a lot of their models and their financial models were based on predictions that were wrong. And instead of being protected against things going bad, they were just, they were trying to forecast the future instead of worrying about being insulated against the worst possible outcome. And as a result of that, they weren't ready for the worst outcomes, and they were overly fit to a trend that wasn't real or that wasn't going to continue, right? It's kind of like maybe an example could be somebody who, like I live in Texas where the weather can be really crazy. One day it can be in the wintertime, it can be 75 degrees out, and then the next day it can be 40 or 35. So an example of that would be like, I have observed in the past maybe months or days or years, at this point during the cycle, it will be a warm day. It's been a warm day for however many years in the past. It should be a warm day at this time in the future. So as a result of that, all of my winter clothes are getting cleaned. I don't have any available because I have predicted that tomorrow it will be a warm day because in the past it has been a warm day at this time during the year. Then I go outside and it's freezing cold, right? And on top of that, on my way to work, my car battery dies and now I'm sitting, you know, in the cold, no jacket. And, you know, basically I was becoming too efficient to the past trend. The past trend was that it's always warm on this day. So as a result, I wasn't prepared, right? I didn't even think about the worst possible scenario, which was that I go outside and it's 30 degrees outside and I'm freezing and then my car battery dies and I'm sitting in my car waiting for help while I'm freezing. So that is, you know, maybe a weak analogy, but it's something that could work. So now, listening to this audiobook, I started realizing that when I was younger and I got into that kind of conspiracy mode, you don't have to predict the future. This is part of his thing, is that you don't have to worry about predicting the future when it comes to preparation, when it comes to getting involved in the stock market, when it comes to picking your profession or getting involved, you know, being financially secure, things like that. You don't need to predict the future. You just need to be robust or anti-fragile, which means that when the worst things occur, you either aren't negatively affected or you benefit from those. That's Nassim Taleb's, what I am pulling from that book is that if you can be robust, that's good, right? So for example, if you lose your job and you've got enough money in your savings account that you could literally be out of a job for 5 years and not worry about it, well, then you're robust, right? You have enough money saved in your savings account. Maybe you don't have a car note. If you have zero debt and you have money, a lot of money saved up, and you lose your job, you're robust, right? But if you have a lot of money saved up, you have no debt, you lose your job, and because you lost your job, you end up getting involved in, for whatever reason, you end up being put in a situation to make even more money because of that, or after that event, then that would be considered anti-fragile, right? Which means that you gain even more. So say you were making 100 grand a year, right? You lose your job, and then you walk into an opportunity where you make 200 grand a year. That would be anti-fragile. The payoff is more than the downside. So I don't know how you could apply that necessarily to every aspect of your life. It's hard to do. But it got me thinking that we probably all should be more prepared. Not for, you know, the Russians or the Chinese or, you know, Trump or, you know, Hillary or whoever's going to be in the presidency or, you know, terrorist attack. But the systems that we live in are so fragile, they are so efficient that small changes can have a disproportionately negative effect on the system that we all really should be more prepared. That is one thing that I started thinking about the other day, because I've had this argument actually with people in my family that may be more inclined to the prophecy side of things, like, oh, you know, maybe Jesus will come back, blah, blah, blah. My whole thing has always been, listen, maybe that's true, maybe it's not true, but we still need to be prepared because a hurricane could hit, right? Well, not only could a hurricane hit, but like, what if something happens, an unforeseen problem happens to an electric, you know, an electrical station, or there is another hurricane that's actually really devastating, like Harvey was in 2017, or maybe because everything is so efficient and so fragile, maybe there is an accidental military altercation, right, that spins out of control because everyone is overestimating the safety. Everyone is overestimating how protected that we are. That is, and so then I started thinking again, I was like, oh man, you know, my instincts were right, but, and at the time they were, it was similar. I remember just thinking about how easy the power goes out when it rains sometimes. And if you have a big enough power outage for a long enough period of time, that could be actually really, really devastating, right? I mean, our whole lives are based around it. Or what about your phone? Okay. Or what about, for example, I had to get a new phone a month and a half ago, and it was so weird having to, I went back on a BlackBerry, and it was so strange to get back on a BlackBerry after being on my Android. I mean, I've got a Google Pixel, and it runs great. It's a great phone. It runs well. I've got, you know, everything got backed up shit on there. You get on the BlackBerry, you can't access anything. You know, I mean, I can call and I can text, but then, you know, my numbers weren't backed up on there. So it was a kind of a weird feeling. And when you think about how fragile we are, everything we do is on the internet, right? Think about how, like, I mean, there have been major outages from Facebook and Instagram, but more importantly, I think CenturyLink or a big internet company had an outage a couple weeks ago. T-Mobile had an outage about 5 or 6 months ago, and it affected, you know, the Houston area big time. And it's like we have these bottlenecks of things happening, whether it be from, and I think a lot of this is visible from the computer space, right? Like the internet, there's probably a handful of companies that could be disrupted for the internet to go down. You know, I mean, there's probably a handful of servers that could take out the internet. Amazon Web Service, for example, hosts a lot of businesses and websites, and even the government works with them. If somebody took out Amazon Web Service servers somehow, I mean, that could be chaos, absolute chaos. And things are so connected, but not only are they connected, they're so efficient that they're also very fragile. So it's just got me thinking. And also, there's another thing that's got me thinking, and that is with the censorship that's going on the internet lately, people that are more conservative, you know, people that are anything right of, you know, anyone who is right and beyond, right? Anyone who's in the right side of the spectrum is under threat because a lot of people are getting kicked off of platforms, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Some people are being kicked off of, you know, these sites like Patreon, things like that, where people can make money on the internet. MasterCard and, you know, has stopped servicing some people. So there's a handful of very powerful tech companies, and this has been in the media as well, and that should also show you how fragile the system is. It shouldn't, in my opinion, looking at Google, looking at Facebook, looking at YouTube, it's not just that these companies are powerful, it's also that these are fragile systems, right? Because, you know, Facebook is powerful, but only, it's only as powerful as people can access it, right? If something happens to Facebook and you can't access your Facebook, I mean, for example, if somebody wiped out Facebook, if somebody just like blew up Facebook servers, I mean, we would all be fine. You know what I'm saying? Like Facebook would be devastated. And that's all it is. It's a company that exists purely on the internet, right? That's all they do. And so it is very fragile. As powerful as it is, it's also fragile. Same with Google. I mean, something could happen to displace Google as the search. I mean, Google's currently battling against Facebook and Amazon, and I'm sure other companies out there for search. And who knows what the next jump will be. But basically, the idea is that the bigger these systems are, I guess, from what I'm gaining from Nassim Taleb's book, Anti-Fragile, which you should all check out, it seems as though the bigger these systems and companies and institutions are, the more fragile they are to shocks. And, you know, it's just got me thinking that as a society in general, I think we are all pretty damn fragile. And with everything that's going on nowadays in the world, there's a lot of unpredictability, right? I mean, something could happen to the oil supply, something could happen to the food supply, something could happen to the electricity, something could happen to the internet. I mean, if something happened to the internet, right, I think like phones are routed through the internet, you know, everything's routed through the internet. So if something goes down with some of these servers, who knows what kind of disruption that could have? Anyway, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but it is clear, it does seem really clear that we are extremely fragile to disruptions and shocks. So anyway, that's just what I've been thinking about. And Nassim Taleb's book is fucking awesome. You should totally check it out. And that is what I've got to say for today. Get out there. Get your shit together, get anti-fragile, get prepared.